This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Yesterday, Major League Soccer representatives came to Charlotte, the next step in the move by Marcus Smith to bring another big league team to the Queen City.
Hey, you guys excited? What do you want the MLS right here in Charlotte?
A Power the Pitch community rally followed a press conference with Smith, the president of MLS for CLT, or MLS for Charlotte, the local ownership group seeking a team, Mark Abbott, president and deputy commissioner of Major League Soccer, and Michael Smith, president and CEO of Charlotte Center City Partners. This hour, we take a look at Charlotte's bid, hear from two of the many people who will be in on making decisions on possible city and county financial support. One of the ownership members and a Washington Post reporter shares what he's hearing about our city's prospects of actually snagging a team. First, though, let's get the highlights of what happened yesterday. WFAE's David Borax has been following all this, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Hello, Mike.
Hi. Surely yesterday was not the first time that officials from Major League Soccer have been to town, so what was the purpose of yesterday's visit?
Well, actually, I don't know that they've been here before any formal way. I mean, this is the official visit by the group that's looking at these bids in all these cities. The purpose was to let them see what the Charlotte soccer community looks like, hear from local businesses about their enthusiasm for this possible franchise here, and to get a look especially at the stadium plans, which is really important to Major League Soccer. They have
had they not seen drawings of those plans prior? Did not somebody from the ownership group go to? I'll ask the ownership group this later on. But
I mean, they've seen the drawings. They know what the concept is. But you got to go see this thing on the ground. You got to see where it is. You know, one of their requirements is that it be near downtown. They really want in whichever cities that they pick in the next round of expansion, they want them to be in the downtown areas. They want to both contribute to development there and also be part of the buzz in a city. And so, as you know, Memorial Stadium is just east of downtown here, and it sort of fits that description.
Skylines in the background, the streetcars driving by or will drive by. Marcus Smith, president of the local ownership group, was there with Michael Smith, no relation, from Charlotte Center City Partners, hosting Mark Abbott, the president of the league. They had a press conference. Was anything said at that press conference that we haven't heard before?
Let me see. Well, you know, a lot of it was saying nice things about Charlotte and what they had seen during the day. I think one thing that I heard is, you know, there's discussion about the stadium. There's request for public funding from the Smiths on this bid. They would like the city and the county combined to pay half of the $175 million cost. The county in January gave a preliminary thumbs up to this. The city council has not yet taken a vote on it. Since then, the county has not made a final decision on this. They still have to vote to put the money into their capital budget. And what we heard yesterday was, some comments about city funding. So the city is not going to go in for the $44 million that the group would like. They've said that pretty clearly. And it has to do with, I think, both the will and the capacity that lies within the tourism taxes that they're going to use to pay for this. So yesterday, Marcus Smith said he was asked, you know, what if the city doesn't go in for the whole amount? He said, we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it. It's not really a big statement, but it doesn't rule out anything happening here.
But he also said that now is the right time for Charlotte and Major League Soccer.
It's really so much more than just about sports. It's really about the community. Soccer is such an amazing sport. It's the biggest sport around the world. And more people coming to Charlotte and that live in Charlotte currently speak the language of soccer.
And Major League Soccer President Mark Abbott also said what you would expect he would say about his visit and the people he met.
I couldn't help but being struck by how proud they are of this community, and justifiably so, and the sense of unity that I saw in not only their desire to bring Major League Soccer here, but in their desire to build and to continue to build a great community.
So there was a rally that we heard a little snippet of sound from a moment ago that followed the speechifying, so to speak. But the rally was staged. So what was the purpose of the rally? I mean, it was to demonstrate support for soccer. But if you're inviting people there and you're giving them free food, does it have an impact?
Well, you can certainly ask Mike Birch about that
and
what the purpose was. But from the standpoint of MLS, they want to see that there's a lively soccer community here. And so in each of the cities that they go to, there's an effort to get out the local soccer fans. And that's what happened yesterday. According to our reporter, Crystal Hoag, who was there yesterday afternoon, there was about 200 people. Mike actually told me he thinks there was about 500 people there. So regardless of the number, there was a group of fans out there on a Tuesday afternoon. You know, there's other ways that this community has showed support for soccer. I mean, think about the international games that have been here the last few years. We've had, you know, 50,000 fans in Bank of America Stadium. The point here is you want to show the MLS officials that there is support for soccer here.
So last week, prior to the run up to this, Dina DiIorio, who's the county manager, said that she was trying to set up some private meetings with county commissioners. And that couldn't be done because evidently that's against the law. You have to have open meetings if five or more commissioners meet. And the same, I think, is true for city council. So they decided not to meet privately. The city then later decided not to meet privately. So there were no private meetings held yesterday. And do we know who asked for the private meetings? Because Dina said MLS asked. And then they said, no, we didn't ask. And who asked? Do we know?
Mike Birch will talk about this. He and I talked about it the other day.
Let me bring Mike.
I think that the local group was putting together a schedule for the MLS leaders, and they wanted to have them meet all the relevant folks in town. So they met with business leaders at lunch yesterday to find out what the support is there, and they had meetings on the schedule with local leaders as well. And, you know, Dina DiIorio described it as a meet and greet. Right. They didn't think of this as any kind of a meeting that would have been negotiations or anything. So the idea was just, let's meet the city officials, the county officials who are involved in this. But whenever you have a meeting like that, you know, if everybody's there, it has to be a public meeting. And, you know, that didn't quite fit, I guess, what people were looking for.
So Major League Soccer has already visited Phoenix, San Diego, St. Louis, Detroit, Sacramento, Cincinnati, and San Antonio. I think there are 12 cities vying for this. Has anything leaked out about the league's impressions of those towns and their bids?
Leaked out? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation among the national soccer community about how these things are going. The MLS was in Sacramento early on, and a lot of people said, wow, they're already going there. You know, this just started. Sacramento probably has one of the strongest bids. I think they've got the whole package together. And most of the other cities are in various stages of putting this together. I think people are looking at what's going on here in Charlotte and also in Raleigh and saying, wow, they don't have it all together. But I think that's actually the case in most of the cities. And they're looking for a stadium deal. And these things take time. Yeah. And when there's public money involved, that is a political process.
There's no hard, fast deadline, but they do want to make a decision by the end of the year because these teams, at least the first two teams, would start playing in 2020, and they'd have to have a stadium ready by that time. Do we know what they're looking for? We know that you have to have a stadium deal. They want a new stadium up and running.
Well, just back up just a minute. So there are 12 bids here. And they are looking for teams that will help build their business. I mean, don't forget, Major League Soccer is a
business.
It's a league business. It's designed to make money, but it's also designed to bring soccer. So they do want a stadium that's near downtown. They want it to be state-of-the-art, not something, you know, half-baked. You know, they want a nice scoreboard. They want 20,000 seats. They're also looking at geography. So where are these teams going to be located? I was looking at a map earlier of where the teams are now and where the bids are. You know, teams in North Carolina, a team from North Carolina would fit nicely between Washington and Atlanta and Orlando. And so there might be some argument to do that, but there's also competition from Nashville and other places like that. And then they're also going to be looking for a solid business organization that can demonstrate it, can bring in sponsorships and that sort of thing.
And they want to gauge, they came here in part to gauge whether or not this is a soccer town. How do you do that? How do you gauge that?
You see what the fan support is. You see what the business community support is. I'm sure Mike Birch can talk about this a little bit later, having been in on
those
meetings.
Who is this Mike Birch person you keep talking
Mike,
about?
Mike is a representative from MLS for CLT who will be talking with us. Yeah. Anyway, but they visited with, for example, the soccer organizations, the youth soccer academies that are here to see, you know, is soccer kind of a youth-to-adult sport here, and is there a lot of support for it? So.
David Borax with WFAE News. Thanks for updating on what happened yesterday.
You're welcome, Mike.
If Charlotte ends up getting a team, it will be privately owned. Charlotte Motor Speedway CEO Marcus Smith is spearheading the local bid, but the city of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County have been asked to kick in some money for a facility and the accompanying infrastructure. Mecklenburg County has, this is a little fuzzy, so I may be wrong about this, but Mecklenburg County, I understand, has already agreed in principle to put millions of dollars into a facility on the site of Memorial Stadium. A final vote by County Commission will come in August. They want to wait to find out just what the city will do. And the city declined to decide on their piece of the funding back in January. They spent 7 months kicking the idea around. And tomorrow, the City Council's Economic Development Committee will hold talks on what, if any, support they will recommend bringing to the table. We are in the running, as we said, with 11 other cities: Phoenix, San Diego, St. Louis, Detroit, Sacramento, Cincinnati, San Antonio, Indianapolis, Tampa, and Raleigh, the city that the league is visiting today. Charlotte likes to go after new gems to put in its crown, and we don't like to lose. So what will happen here? To give us some insight into that, we've invited two of the people who have been or will be involved in deciding on public funding. Matthew Ridenour is a member of Mecklenburg County Commission, and Julie Eiselt is on Charlotte City Council and is vice chair of the Economic Development Committee, which will be meeting tomorrow. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning. Welcome. And we are also joined by the elusive Mike Birch, the often mentioned. Beg your pardon?
I've been here the whole time, just biding my time. It sounds like it's going to be the Mike Birch show here for the next hour. I got a lot of explaining to do, so...
He's welcome. He's helping to. He's part of the ownership group. He's the chief strategy officer for MLS for CLT, the group bidding for the team. So let me back up. I wasn't going to start with this question, but let's back up to the question that he couldn't ask or he couldn't answer. David couldn't answer. Who asked for these private meetings?
We were the organizers of the visit. This was an introductory visit.
Okay.
Mark Abbott. Commissioner Garber, they have not been to Charlotte before, so they had not seen the site. They didn't really have a sense of Charlotte's soccer community. Didn't know what the feelings were here. So this is part of what they're doing in all the 12 cities is coming and kind of getting introduced to the city. So that's what this is. So we asked them to come and visit, and we set up an agenda for them. And I think David characterized the nature of the meetings very, very well as being meet and greets. They were in town as a courtesy to our officials. We said let's have them meet.
Okay.
People need to understand that MLS is not involved in negotiating this stadium deal. This is strictly between the ownership group and their respective cities. MLS just has to look at the deal when it gets completed and make sure that it is stable enough, meets their requirements. Because if you don't have a soccer stadium to play in, it really doesn't make any sense to give a city a franchise.
So in your mind and in the rest of the ownership team's mind, was the visit diminished in any way by not having these private meetings?
Not at all. And I think Mark made that very clear, that he's happy to come back and meet with the city and county on any terms and any forum that they'd like to meet. And he's really, again, there to represent the league and their interests. And how we decide to finance the stadium and what the plans are really up to us and our elected officials.
So we've been following this peripherally for, 7 months, I guess, Matthew. And I'm going to start with you from the funding aspect of this, because I thought it was a done deal at the county. And as I was reading and reading and reading to get ready for today, I find that maybe that's not necessarily the case. Where does the county stand right now in terms of participation?
Last month in June, we approved our 5-year capital improvement plan. Mm-hmm. We did not include the Memorial Stadium renovations and improvements and this deal in the capital improvement plan. So right now, we approved everything else, all the parks and all the other facilities that we're building with our capital dollars. But we did not include the Memorial Stadium deal. We will come back to that again on August 2nd to determine whether or not we're going to include that in the 5-year plan.
But I thought it was back in January that you decided that you were going to kick in, $43.75 million.
That's correct. But even so, we still have to include it in our 5-year capital improvement plan, and that's what we did last month.
So,
and if I can interject, I think it's important to recognize this has been a three-person partnership. We can come back to this after the break, because I know we like to have our breaks on time here.
Yes, we do. We love that, actually. Mike Birch is Chief Strategy Officer for MLS for Charlotte. Julie Eiselt's here from City Council, and Matthew Ridenour from Mecklenburg County Commission. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Chesterbrook Academy, dedicated to preparing children academically, socially, and emotionally for elementary school, hosting an open house on Saturday, August 5th. Details at chesterbrookacademy.com. And West Elm, celebrating local makers, designers, and musicians by hosting a concert tomorrow with Loamlands at the Metropolitan Midtown at 6 p.m. Open to all. More at westelmcelebratelocal.eventbrite.com. Well, today we're probing the bid to bring Major League Soccer to town. The idea has left parks advocates, however, green with envy, because soccer, they say, could take as much as a third of the money earmarked for recreation and other parks projects, some already approved by voters. So we'll hear about those concerns first, and then lighten things up a bit with Paula Poundstone. She's all over NPR. She's just begun an hilarious podcast and is on her way to town. She stops by here first, tomorrow at 9.
I'm Anthony Brooks. Coming up on the next On Point, the Trump administration is talking tough tariffs on steel. But what does it mean for American manufacturing jobs? That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Join On Point from 10 till noon following Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about soccer, Major League Soccer coming to town, the prospect of that. And now we're talking about the three parties involved that will be jockeying back and forth in terms of stadium construction. And that would be the management, the ownership group, MLS for Charlotte. Mike Birch is here. He's the chief strategy officer for that organization. Julie Iselt is city council, vice chair of the Economic Development Committee. They're meeting tomorrow to talk about this. And Matthew Ridenour with County Commission. They are have already kind of thrown their hat into the ring in a big way. Let me just recap what I understand to have happened over the last 7 months at County Commission. Back in January, the commission approved an agreement to use $43.75 million of property tax money to pay 25% of the proposed stadium's construction cost. It also agreed to provide the site and advance $75 million of Marcus Smith's commitment of $87.5 million to build the stadium. Is all that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. But the commission deferred stadium approval while it waits on the city's final decision on whether they will commit public money and how much. That's all correct too, right?
Yes, sir.
So what does all that mean? Is it a cat and mouse thing?
Right. Well, yeah. Back in January, we were under the assumption and the belief that the city would be participating as equal partners, and so that was the deal. Those were the deal points that were before us. And at this point, the city is not yet committed. So I think that's probably influencing some of my fellow commissioners is why they're starting to get a little hesitant about moving forward without city participation.
So, Julie, I saw the county. It seemed initially, at least, to be pretty gung ho about this. The city less so. Why?
Well, I think it's two different situations. First of all, the county owns that asset, so at some point they're going to have to do something with it, either invest in it to bring it back up to being a producing asset. So that's a very different scenario than it is for us. We don't own Memorial Stadium.
But you guys just spent money to fix Memorial Stadium, so you see it as an asset, I would think, or as a performing asset. Am I wrong?
No, we're always putting money in Memorial Stadium. It's an old stadium. So we have put some money into Memorial Stadium recently. And I've actually heard that argument a number of times, that it's the county's asset. I don't particularly care whose asset it is, at this point I'm thinking, let's just sign it over to the city. You guys have a tourism tax that's dedicated to these types of deals. You look at Bank of America Stadium, Spectrum Arena. I'm always thinking maybe we should just be out of the business. The county should perhaps be out of the business of stadium building.
And if you didn't have a deed, unfortunately, giving it to the county that prohibits you from doing that, that might be a great solution. But it's deeded as a park and a stadium facility. There's restrictions on what can be done with the property.
So, actually, if I can interject real quickly, our attorneys have looked that over and have actually determined that there may be ways around that.
So, Julie, the city's been...
Now we got to bring the lawyers into it.
We're all in trouble now. The city's been listening to our reports on this on WFAE and reading the newspaper and watching television, so you've had 7 months to do that. Are you any closer to making a decision than you were 7 months ago? And what have you been talking about? What have you been analyzing in those 7 months?
So, a lot of what we've seen, we've been reading in the paper. We need a process. We need a process to be able to look at this and analyze it. In January, we hadn't even been given anything to make that decision, so it caught a lot of us by surprise, quite honestly.
But the county was given something. They decided on $43.75 million.
Maybe the commissioners were, but the council members were not.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Why would that be?
They'd have to ask their staff. We negotiated with the representatives from the city staff and the county staff. We got together starting really back in August. We went up and visited with Mark, and he told us that there was an opportunity for Charlotte to be involved. And we said, well, this is something we'd like to do. So we came back and immediately got together with Tom Roy at the CRVA and said, hey, there's an opportunity here. And Tom convened Ron Kimball, who was the city manager at the time, and Dina and Michael Smith.
Right.
We talked about the opportunity, and everybody agreed we need to go and let The councils know that this opportunity is on the table and we should pursue it. So we met in October, and the mayor was there and Commissioner Fuller there, who was the chairman at the time, and we kind of laid out the opportunity, and they were all gung-ho, let's do this. In fact, I believe Mayor Roberts and Commissioner Fuller both called Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer, to express their support. And so they tasked all of us to go back and negotiate a deal. And it's this characterization of we're asking for this. This is something that all three of us have been working on, really again since September. And I can't speak to who was told what by whom, because that really isn't our role to inform Julie about what her staff decisions are or inform Matthew about what his county manager has decided. But this has from day one been a three-way partnership, and we recognize it only works that if the city, the county, the ownership, and the business community and the fans all come together to make this work.
So let me make sure that I understand this. These numbers that have been floating around for these last 7 months, these $43.75 million, which would be initially it was going to be the city share and the county would have a duplicate share of that. These numbers you only know about because you read about them in the paper. You've never seen these passed around from the city manager or from the mayor or anybody. It's just out there.
We were told that there would be a request coming for Major League Soccer. And this was after having gone through the
From MLS for Charlotte. Major League Soccer really didn't make the request. We were making the request to try to bring them, because I think Mark Abbott has been unfairly portrayed about he asked for these private meetings. And
okay,
let's put Major League Soccer aside and what their respective role is. And their role is to decide which of these 12 cities get franchises. So they're not asking the city or the county for anything. That's us as the potential franchisee. So
for the purpose of bringing Major League Soccer.
Yes, exactly.
So we knew that. But, we never go from there's going to be a proposal coming before you to vote on it in January. We put things – our process is a little bit different than county commission. We go through a committee. Everything goes through a committee, and it doesn't go to the full council – the committee passes it on.
Wasn't this discussed in January by the city, and they waited? They decided to wait.
And we said we haven't had an opportunity to have public meetings.
When that came to you in January, wasn't that figure put on the table, $43.75 million?
The number was, and we said we weren't comfortable with that.
Yeah, Ron Kimball briefed the county, and I don't know whether the first time or the last time, but he did a briefing, and really – There's significant differences in the sources of funding here, and to understand those, I think, is important.
Exactly.
The city is looking at how do they use tourism funds that by law have been designated for these types of purposes, and even within the term tourism funds, there's different bands of funds that have very restricted uses. So Ron gave a briefing on here's all the different sources of funding, here is what they generate, and here's the capacity, and here's the future needs as we see them, and based upon the information back in January, he said we have the capacity for $43.75 million. I don't know if you remember, even before that, there was a proposal there could be a third at 50-50-50. I think the Matthew, you guys were briefed on in December, and then after that kind of was vetted out, that's when they came back to us, the city and the county, and said that model isn't going to work. And that was based on the baseball model, which has been very successful and everybody participated in. And again, I don't know if the city was briefed on that or not, but that's when we kind of went to this MLS pays half and MLS for Charlotte pays half and city county pays half.
So it would be half, you'd pay half, the county would pay a quarter, the city would pay a quarter. So Julie, you wanted to jump in.
So let me just say that, yes, when that number was put on the table and we were told that we have the capacity to do that, there's a lot that has to happen in between that. So you're exactly right. The public is saying, wait a minute, you just said you were going to commit to building affordable housing. So we need to go through the process of explaining to the public why we can't use that money for affordable housing or anything else except for tourism-related funding. But that said, we can be told that we have the capacity, but we then said, well, what else are we going to need it for in the next 10 years?
No, I think that was very fair. And it was, we were all under the deadline of January 31st for Major League Soccer. And then when we went back in August, they kind of gave us this preliminary timeline saying first quarter. We assume March 31st. We're going to have 3 months to work on this.
Okay, so let me be the bad guy here for a second. The franchise expansion fee, the cost to the ownership group, if we get a team, you'll have to pay the league $150 million for the ownership rights to the team. Is that right?
For the operating rights for Charlotte, as well as an ownership stake in Major League Soccer and an ownership stake in a group called Soccer United Marketing. But yes,
so $150 million for that. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Charlotte Motor Speedway, which is also run by Marcus Smith and was started by his dad, Bruton Smith, was built using private funds. Is that correct?
65 years ago, yes.
Okay. Then why does he need public money for to build a stadium?
Well, why do we have a tourism fund that's created to incentivize businesses to bring business
to Charlotte? I mean, he built Charlotte Motor Speedway with private money.
Sure, and he built Texas Motor Speedway, and we built facilities all over the country. And it's important to understand this is the Smith family initiative, not a Speedway Motorsports initiative.
Okay.
Speedway's public company. But the reason that the cities have incentives is to attract business. So just like you would attract any other company, there are funds set aside to do this. So we as an organization say if the funds are available to attract business, we're considering a myriad of options across the country and the world about how to use these dollars. And Charlotte has a reason to try to attract these dollars to bring assets like Major League Soccer franchises. So why would we not explore using those?
Well, yeah, what you're saying is that although you might be able to afford to do this by yourself, the money is available because the city and the county have made these funds available for certain kinds of projects, and it would be fiduciarily irresponsible not to explore going in that direction at least initially, correct?
Absolutely. I can afford to buy toothpaste, but I might buy two if they're doing a two for one. So
Matthew.
Well, there's a lot of talk about the tourism dollars and incentivizing businesses and so forth, but it's important also while we're on that topic to note that those dollars are not available in the county. The county, these dollars, the $43.7 million, the $71 million or $75 million that we're advancing towards the stadium construction, those come from general revenue. Those are property tax dollars. That's every property owner in Mecklenburg County will be paying to build that stadium. So and those dollars could have otherwise gotten allocated to parks.
So
they could have gone to schools. They could have gone to other
priorities. Well, let me talk about the parks for a second. We're going to do a big part of the show tomorrow on this because there's a contingent of people with regard to the parks who are concerned about this deal because, and Mark emails about this, if the county money ends up going to a soccer stadium, I've heard that it would take money away from greenways and parks from previous bond packages. Is that true?
Essentially, yes. I mean, there's a little more explanation to it than that. But yes, there's a list of projects from 2008 that have gone unfunded thus far, mm-hmm. Parks projects. And they were on the list of things back in March that the Parks and Rec Department wanted to fund.
But I read yesterday that Dina DiOrio said that's not true.
We are taking these dollars that could go to Parks and Recreation and build out those 2008 parks, and we are putting it towards this Memorial Stadium deal instead. That is fact.
Okay. So it sounds like there's going to be some jockeying going on, a game of cat and mouse or chicken here between the city and the county about what level of participation they might want to participate in this, and it one depends on the other. The initial fee was $43.75. That was the initial figure that was hopefully put out. That's a quarter of the cost. Then I think City Councilman James Mitchell has since said that $30 million might be where the city would jump in, and now he says that might be too high. The last figure I heard him throw out was $15 to $20 million. Are you familiar with all these figures bouncing about, Julie?
No. I've heard 30, and I don't know. I think it's a capacity. Somebody is calculating capacity, but that's not even the question for us necessarily. You know, when we talk about using those tourism dollars, for example, we could say, well, we're going to put them into renovating the convention center. The convention center is what brings people to Charlotte, the facility itself. So
the convention center has a band of funds specified for that
Correct.
Purpose that is not part of the funds that we're looking for that $30 million in capacity. So totally agree with you, but let's make sure we
Correct.
Understand
but
that there are different funding mechanisms and
yes.
different levels, so one doesn't have to be done at the exclusion of another.
Right. So my concern, and I hear you, Mike, my concern personally, I can't speak for all my council members, but my concern is if we build a stadium, what happens when the team does really well and decides to leave, then we're stuck with the stadium and we've put all of this public money in it. And there might be an answer to that, but we haven't been given that answer. We don't know if there's any contingencies. We don't know if there's any.
Can't you make that something that's contingent on a promise to stay?
Yeah, you should be really bad at your attorneys or Marcus Jones or whoever negotiated the deal because we're saying we're committed to 25 years.
So that's what tomorrow's meeting is about. We need to know what the commitment is. And also, we need to know, you know, when I look around, we haven't been given any empirical data. What are the other MLS deals look like in cities that have MLS teams now? We don't know. We haven't been given that. A lot of us have done our own research, but when I look at Miami, and David Beckham can't even get a team in Miami, and he's willing to build the stadium himself, I got to ask what's going on. And you read deeper into it, and down the street, the Marlins have been put up on the market, and they're going to leave the city of Miami stuck with a $2 billion bond package for a stadium while the owner walks away with a gigantic profit.
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, blame the city of Miami for not doing a better deal to bind the Marlins. Again, we're willing to commit to that. I think you're totally correct, and you should be filled in all this context. And David Beckham is buying it at $25 million. So that's a $125 million burden that he's not being asked to bear. So that's a whole different economic.
Which is a financial discussion.
Has the county been given the empirical data that Julie says the city has not been privy to?
And we've been given the deal points as far as the 25-year tether, and the county is also on the hook for a major renovation. We're also paying $150,000 per year with 5% interest capitalized per year towards operating expenses. So, yeah, we've seen those deal points. It's important to note on these, because we're really talking about stadium financing. It's a larger question than just simply what's going on in Charlotte. You look at, as Councilwoman Eiselt mentioned, Miami. You look at the Raleigh deal that I believe is privately funded. And there is a movement across the country where local governments and states even are saying, no, we're not going to fund these, because economists, time and again, all you have to do is Google publicly financed stadiums. Economists are almost in unified agreement that they are bad deals for taxpayers. Taxpayers don't get those dollars back. Mecklenburg County putting $43 million into this stadium for us to get, because we get sales tax, right? So some our portion of the sales tax would require over $2 billion worth of hot dog sales to get that $43 million
You
back.
Were on this program, I recall this now, a couple of months ago talking about this. You're not necessarily a proponent of doing this, are you?
No, I am opposed to publicly financed stadiums.
Okay.
And I'm also interested to see the economic benefits of greenways and the financial return on those. If that's the case we're going to make, we need to make sure.
Those are free access to all citizens of Mecklenburg County who have paid into them. This is $43 million going to a private venture that not everybody can use.
That's not true.
How is that not true? Are you going to allow people to open the gates and just walk into the games for free?
Can we go over and walk in Memorial Stadium right now and get in for free? No, it's locked. It's no different.
It is available for public use. It will not be available for public use if this deal goes forward.
Well, to be clear, if I have a football team and I want to play a game at Memorial Stadium, I'd have to approach the county. You know, an amateur football team, I'd have to approach the county for permission to use the stadium. Would I be granted that permission to use the stadium?
Yes, you would. Just as okay. If you wanted to rent a pavilion at Freedom Park.
So now
that's not free, though. You said rent. So there's
a reserve a facility. But there's a difference between being able to reserve a facility for a modest dollar amount compared to not being able to utilize a facility for free that you've paid for.
You keep going back to free, but you're using apples and oranges. I can't go use Memorial Stadium. Every one of those events over there, we have the list, has a rent attached to it. It's not a free.
Would your rent? You're going to be controlling the stadium if you get this deal. So would your rent be comparable very quickly?
Yes.
Okay, we have to take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, featuring a steak and wine menu for business meetings, private parties, or dinner. Uptown location open for lunch and dinner, South Park for dinner. More info at ruths-chris.com. And Doctors Making House Calls, physician-owned and managed, Doctors Making House Calls works to help complex patients stay healthy at home and avoid unnecessary ER visits and hospitalizations. Details available at doctorsmakinghousecalls.com. President Trump has been talking tough about steel imports into the U.S., possibly imposing tariffs. But what would that do to American manufacturers and their workers? Experts warn a protectionist approach could come with a major cost, both economically and diplomatically. And they'll be talking about that during On Point, coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. We will continue our conversation about the prospects of soccer in Charlotte in just a moment. Stay with us.
Bike helmets are a safety must, but not usually fashion forward.
If you make a bike helmet people actually want to wear, I think you can, one, solve a public health crisis. You can prevent a lot of injuries and fatalities every year. And beyond that, I feel like you can really encourage cycling within cities.
I'm Adrienne Hill. Helmets get hip next time on Marketplace.
Tonight at 6:30, following All Things Considered, a 90.7 WFAE, listener-funded public radio.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins, and today we're talking about Major League Soccer, the prospect of them coming to town, the fact that the Major League Soccer president was here yesterday to see the site and to talk to people around the city about the and to gauge their interest in bringing MLS soccer to town. Mike Birch is the chief strategy officer for MLS for Charlotte. That's the ownership group. Matthew Ridenour is a Mecklenburg County commissioner. They're on the fence here about whether or not they're going to participate. Julie Eiselt's a Charlotte City Council member and chair of the or vice chair of the Economic Development Committee. They're meeting tomorrow to talk about this. And apparently they're operating in the dark from what I'm hearing from Julie, that they have very little information about the deal or the numbers that have been floating around in the newspaper for 7 months here. City manager Marcus Jones, Julie, told the Charlotte Business Journal that there is an amazing amount of support for soccer at the city. Is he talking about within the city management, or is he talking about within city council? How would you assess the support for soccer among the city council members?
Well, I mean, the support for soccer and the support for a stadium are two entirely different conversations. We'd love to see soccer come to Charlotte. We were trying to work a deal to get minor league soccer with a stadium in Charlotte. So it's not that we don't want soccer in Charlotte. We'd love it. But we'd love the opportunity to figure out a different way to do it without us having to put so much money into it.
Do you know how our bid, your bid, MLS for Charlotte, compares to the 11 other cities who are bidding for this? For Raleigh, for instance.
Well, I think when you look at what Major League Soccer has said, there's four key components they look at. They look at the ownership group. They look at will the city support it in terms of the corporate base and the fan base. They look at will this city help us grow our league as a whole. And then finally, do they have a stadium to play in? Because all those other things are moot if you don't have a stadium. I think we match up very well. And some of those things are just advantages that people can't give in terms of geography. Between Atlanta and D.C., there's no other franchise. So it fits a nice hole for them.
There were a lot of kids at that rally that you had yesterday, at which we've heard figures from 100 to 500 people. But there were what I saw on television, there were a lot of kids at that rally, and we do have a lot of young kids playing soccer, which I guess boosts interest in soccer, period, overall. How do you gauge whether we're a soccer town? Is it the fact that we have all these amateur youth soccer leagues, or is it something else?
No, I think there's the fact that there's a lot of soccer enthusiasts here. There's a lot of people playing the game who like the game, and when we've had appropriate draws like the International Champions Cup, we've had 70,000 people
come
in.
Let's talk about that, because Charlotte hosted some international soccer matches at Bank of America Stadium each summer between 2014 and 2016, which attracted about 50,000 fans in a 74,000 seat stadium. But your stadium is going to be 20,000 seats, so it'd be beyond capacity if they were to come at that level. But attendance declined in each of those three summers, and international soccer decided not to come back. So what does that tell you about the long-term appetite for soccer here?
Well, it says that the Panthers are doing a long-needed total upgrade of their field, which really made the facility unavailable for a majority of the window.
So you're saying they didn't decide not to come back. They couldn't come back because the Panthers wouldn't let them have the field? Is that what you're saying?
No, we work very closely with the International Champions Cup. We know Stephen Ross, who owns it very well, and they look at Charlotte as being a very positive market and would love to be here in the future.
I'm going to come back to the three of our guests in the studio in a moment. Because Charlotte may end up deciding that providing the needed public funding and support is a good idea because having another major sports franchise makes us an even bigger player on the national stage. But will MLS decide that we are a good fit, the best fit for them? Remember, the competition for these two expansion teams involves 12 cities. Stephen Goff might be able to provide an educated outsider's point of view, and we've asked him to share his opinion on all of this. Goff covers Major League Soccer for The Washington Post. He joins us by phone. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You know a lot about Major League Soccer, but before I ask you to assess Charlotte's chances of the league choosing our city, let me let you know that before we were awarded the Hornets franchise, one national columnist wrote that the only franchise Charlotte would ever get would be McDonald's. And the rest is history. So what do you think? Are we in the running?
I think they're in the running, but I think Charlotte's a long shot. I think Raleigh's a long shot.
Why?
I just think there's stronger bids out there right now.
Stronger how?
Things could change.
Stronger how?
The financial backing, the history of drawing crowds, the stadium plans, most importantly. Right now I'd say Sacramento's in. I think Cincinnati is a very strong case where they're setting all kinds of attendance records for a second division team. Detroit has an enormous amount of money behind their bid with two NBA owners. So it's going to be tough for the Carolinas. It's going to be tough for Nashville, Tampa.
How does soccer make its money? Where does most of the revenue come from? Is it from the gate, or is it from television? Is it from sponsorships? What's it from?
It varies. I mean, from market to market. Major League Soccer is a single entity. So there are businesses, individuals who buy into the league and then are awarded rights to teams. So money for MLS is made through their marketing arm, SOM. It's made through sponsorships, TV deals, everything you named. And then individual teams are able to generate revenue through, naming rights on stadiums and tickets, obviously,
because
local sponsorships.
Well, because in other sports, a lot of this depends on market size, specifically TV market size. That's where the money is made, particularly in the
sure.
NFL and possibly NBA. We're the 22nd largest TV market in the country. That puts us behind number 11, Tampa, number 12, Phoenix, number 20, Sacramento, number 21, St. Louis. All these cities are vying for MLS. But it puts us ahead of Indianapolis, Raleigh, San Diego, and the rest, including Cincinnati, which is tiny in terms of a TV market. We're in the middle of the pack. So how can we overcome that?
Sure. I mean, if a stadium plan comes together, and the location certainly is very appealing, then I think Charlotte, moves up a step and becomes a serious contender. I mean, right now, until a stadium deal comes together, I think it's a long shot.
Okay.
Geographically, yeah, they'd like to be in the Carolinas. Carolinas traditionally have supported soccer on the lower levels, youth levels. International matches have done well here and there. Carolina is very appealing, but I just think right now a bunch of other markets are ahead of the Carolinas right now.
What kind of towns tend to be good for Major League Soccer?
Great question. I think what you're seeing for MLS is they tend to do very well where they've gone in recent years to cities that don't have a lot of other pro teams. I mean, you look at what happened in Orlando, which the team's only been around for a few years in MLS. They just built a 25,000-seat stadium. It's a fantastic facility. They get huge crowds, huge interest in the community. The only other competition they have on the pro level is the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Portland, which is one of the top three markets in MLS, in terms of passion and support, sellouts, things like that. Salt Lake City, which you wouldn't think of as a soccer market, has done very well. There are...
But look who we have. We have the Panthers, we have the Hornets, we have minor league baseball, we have minor league hockey, and we have something that none of those other cities, I don't think you've mentioned, have, and that's NASCAR. And when Charlotte Motor Speedway is filled for a race, it becomes like the third or fourth largest city in the state. They attract a lot of people. Doesn't that speak to our ability to attract people to events?
Sure. And a lot of cities can make that claim for various sports. NASCAR is, you guys know more about this than I do, but, how often is there a race? Those are one-off things. Just like international soccer. When you have a big mm-hmm. international match in a city, people say, hey, we drew 70,000 for this international soccer match. That's fine, but pro soccer is week to week.
So we have a city councilman sitting here and a county commissioner sitting here, and one of them, the city council person, is meeting tomorrow to talk about this with her committee. From your experience, maybe she could use this or not use it, but from your experience, what does the presence of Major League Soccer do for a city, and how does it compare to what happens when an NBA team or an NFL team decides they want to be in your town?
MLS is growing. It certainly doesn't have the impact on a community that, you know, the NBA or the NFL has. I would compare it to the NHL. I think MLS has made great strides to catch up to the NHL. Soccer is far more popular than hockey, but the NHL is more popular than MLS, if you know what I mean. Soccer in general has greater interest in this country and certainly around the world. It has an impact. I mean, I think cities are starting to come around to the idea that MLS is here for good. Stadiums are attracting people and become destinations, and the league has certainly drawn the younger demographics that businesses and communities look at as they move forward in the world.
But what I'm hearing you say is I'm putting Stephen Goff, Major League Soccer reporter for the Washington Post, in the skeptical column when it comes to Charlotte. Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah, I think I'm a little skeptical, but things can change. And as you've discussed, two teams will join or will be awarded later this year. I don't think the Carolinas have any chance at that. But then there's the next round, two more teams in the next year or two. And I think that's where it becomes very competitive among places like Nashville, Charlotte, Raleigh, Tampa. I think that's when it becomes really interesting.
Okay, so if you end up being wrong, you're buying me a subscription to the Washington Post for a year, okay?
There you go.
Okay.
I'll be happy.
Stephen, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You're welcome. Stephen Goff with the Washington Post. Did any of that, Mike? Mike Birch is here. He's the Chief Strategy Officer for the Ownership Group, MLS for Charlotte. I know you disagree with everything he said, but does it surprise you what he said?
No, because it's kind of the conventional thinking. I don't think people appreciate that right now we're doing the difficult, sometimes messy, but important work of deciding where do these actual dollars come from. And Cincinnati, great crowds. But, the rumor is that their group's going to come and ask the city of Cincinnati for $100 million. And they haven't even thought step one about greenways versus stadiums or how does it impact the community or how does it impact tourism dollars. We've been doing this for 6 months. I think we're so far ahead because the stadium is the key. None of the cities he mentioned outside of Sacramento are even close to having a stadium plan.
So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to know what city and county participation is going to be, if there is going to be any participation whatsoever. But if something does happen and they do participate, the county will maintain ownership of this new stadium and you will run it. Your ownership group will run it very much like the deal that the Hornets have with the Spectrum Arena. So that's what they get. The county gets to keep the property. What does the city get?
The city gets the benefit of having an asset like a Major League Soccer team to go with what we went through 30 years ago with the Hornets and with the Panthers, and the fact that it brings people – it's tourism dollars. So the goal is to bring people to Charlotte. And
is it going to bring people to Charlotte, or is it going to be season ticket holders who already live here?
I think you heard Stephen say it's an attraction. It's a destination. It brings people
– and it does bring teams to Charlotte, and they have to rent hotel rooms and eat in the restaurants, et cetera. Is that – have you done an analysis on what the Panthers and the Hornets being here does for tourist dollars?
They're totally different sports. The NFL is the wealthiest sports league in the world. So
big dog.
So it's a different financial model.
Well, there are Matthew Ridenour from the county commission mentioned he's not a big proponent of city-funded venues like this or municipally funded venues like this. And he pointed out that economists are becoming increasingly skeptical about the economic benefits to a city, but there are the intangible benefits to a city. We see them all the time when the Panthers are on television. We see it with the NBA, et cetera. And wouldn't having Major League Soccer added to the portfolio of NBA, NFL, minor league baseball, amateur or minor league hockey, and NASCAR, wouldn't that raise our profile as a major league sports town? And isn't there an intangible benefit from
that? Sure there is. Absolutely. And, you know, we don't know. Are we ever going to be able to keep the Panthers? That's what everybody...
Well, that's the next shoe to drop, don't
right.
you think? Because
so...
to keep the Panthers, Jerry Richardson has said that when he dies, the Panthers will be sold. And it will be sold to a billionaire, not a conglomerate of millionaires. And that in order to keep that money here, to keep that team here, you will have to build a stadium for them.
Well, I can tell you the city of Charlotte,
are you planning for that?
We're not going to be able to afford a $2 billion stadium. So,
yeah, if we're discussing $70 million combined to the hundreds of millions. And I would also disagree with the assumption that it's going to require a new stadium. I think that's a big assumption, but... It'll require something down the road.
My point being that we'd have to look for other sources of money if we were to talk. So that's not the conversation here. But my point, you know, what I'm trying
but
to
are
say
you
is,
diluting that possibility by putting money into a soccer stadium?
Well, any penny that we put into something else that we could, sure, absolutely. So we think about it, and that's what we want. We asked our staff for a schedule of everything that could be coming down the pipe in the next 10 years.
So there's no final deadline on this, although the end of the year is the deadline. So what do you? When will you have a decision at city council level?
I don't think it's going to be till August or September.
When will you have a decision at the county level?
August 2nd.
When do you need a decision?
Before they announce the other four franchises.
All right. Sounds fair to me. Mike Birch, Chief Strategy Officer for MLS for Charlotte. Julie Eiselt, Vice Chair of the Economic Development Committee, which meets tomorrow on this at Charlotte City Council. And Matthew Ridenour, Mecklenburg County Commission. Thank you all for the hour.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is